You are listening to WQ4D Radio, the Inspiring Friends Network, coming to you from the heart of the Q in Quitman, Mississippi.
Old Men Stories, a show just about old men? Not hardly. It's a name that conjures up the image of someone who's been through it all, seen it all, and survived it all, like the storytellers of old. That wisdom comes with age. But all age is relative. You don't have to be old. You don't have to be male. You just have to live the story and survive to tell the tale. Join Master Storytellers Roland Willits and Jeff Young now as we start today's journey.
Stopping at the my way, looking for the old man of our day. I'm looking for the stories back in their days of glory, just to see what those old men have to say. And I'm looking for the stories of our land. I'm looking for them everywhere I can. Old men's stories are the reason, and I'll listen any season. I'll search for these old men across the land. Yes, I'll search for these old men across the land.
Roland Willits.
And Jeff Young.
Old Men's Stories. Welcome to our shelf. During our 107th show, we sit down and do sewing things. Pretty things. Knitting is an activity which occupies time while creating works of art and practical coverings. We have more people knitting now than ever, and we can stitch into a few stories here. Look at the people you know that knit or your own knitting and needle out an old man's story.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Old Man Stories, the knitting episode. I'm Jeff Young, and this is Roland Willits, and I'm going to ask if he's here because he's sitting right next to me for the last time before he goes off on his trip.
Yes, I'm ready to journey.
Now, you might wonder why we're having a show on knitting. I mean, obviously, we're not your typical knitters.
No. However, when we came up with 208 different subjects, and I came up and I thought, oh, knitting, I maybe have a story. But the object of it was to show that we can create stories of things around us, and knitting is all around us. Most of us have a parent that did it. Most times it was the female of our great species. Females have a tendency to be the knitters and sewers, etc. Don't you agree? Tendency.
I think that the more that we get into the modern age, however, knitting is less of the stereotype thing that used to be, because a friend of mine, who shall remain nameless at this time, I don't have a permission to use his name, got into a quilting class as a way to express himself artistically. And just as a lot of professional chefs out there are men, there can and will be men who knit and sew. As a matter of fact, the stereotypical, what they call bespoke tailor from the Victorian age was male. Your tailors are gentlemen with the whole tape measure and the pins and everything.
They still are.
Yes. And really, knitting is just an art form, and a gender role is only if you accept it to be so. And that being said, I can say that the majority of knitters that I know I have known my wife ton are women, but I do know some men among them.
Oh, yes, I know. I'll tell you a story of a tailor that I met when I was in Fort Lauderdale. I was down in Fort Lauderdale there at the Seminole Indian tribe, and I had to give a present in front of their board, and I didn't have a suit with me. So I asked around, do you know any tailors? Do you know any tailors? And this fella came, and he says, yes, I know one. He's older. He's a good tailor. So I said, that'd be wonderful. So he gave me his phone number. I called him, and he was in his 80s, but he says, I'll come over, and we'll get together. He says, we first have to go to the factory and get cloth. And I says, okay. And I thought, the secret factory somewhere. So he met me, and we started talking, and I looked down at his arm, and he had numbers on it. And I says, are those the numbers I think they are? He says, you mean, was I an Auschwitz? Isn't that the name, how you pronounce it?
Mm-hmm.
He said, yes, I was. He says, my life was saved because I was a tailor. I was a tailor for the general that was there. And he kept me alive to do all his tailoring. So tailoring kept me in good stead. And at that time, I was alive. He says, let's go down. I got this factory. So we went down, and his factory was Burlington Coat Factory. And he walked me through it, and then he found this space, and he picked out. He says, oh, this is the materials. So he picked out all the materials out of the Burlington Coat Factory. And then he brought them back, and he said, I'll be back in a week. And he made me a beautiful suit. And then he told me a few more stories about his time in the prisoner of war camps. And they were hair-raising. But he said, I've lived now for a half century after it. And he said, and I got a good business, had a good family, and I'm retired here in Florida. Jeff?
Wow. All jokes aside, sometimes a stitch in time will save your life. Now I'm thinking that when I got my suit done at the men's warehouse, all of the fitters and the personal tailors were men. And the guy just basically would walk about the rack and say, okay, this will look good on you, not this one. Try this one on for size. And they start you off with these pants that are really baggy. And they just kind of measure everything, and they redo it. When I went to my sister's wedding a number of years ago, I got fitted for a tuxedo then, and they said it came with a lifetime guarantee. And the guy said, I sign my name on this particular tailoring. If I'm still here when you adjust it again, I will do this for you specifically. And that kind of is a good segue into one of my stories for today, is that a good piece of fabric, well constructed, will last a lifetime. These prefabricated, hastily done jobs will come apart in a few years. But I still have this suit that I bought when I went to college in my closet, and it's still a thing about knitting in particular. And I apologize to those of you who are career nerds out there, but this is my understanding, is that knitting was designed for fabric that was not going to come apart. It was designed to stretch and designed to fit around the wearer. Because the way that knitting is done in a sort of lock stitch kind of pattern, where once you tie it off, that thing is pretty rock solid. And it's really hard to separate out a good wool anything once it's stitched together or when knitted together. And the case example I have for this is from what would have been my great aunt Anne. And I remember when I was very young, one of my uncles was involved with a woman whose mother knitted constantly. There were balls of yarn everywhere in her house. She also had cats. I think the two of those tend to go together sometimes. And for Christmas one year, she gave myself, my younger brother, and my older sister woolen knit blankets that she had made with her own hands. And I remember that my older sister's was green and pink. It was sort of a salmon pink color. And my younger brother's was brown and yellow. And mine was a rainbow color with black borders and separators. And so each of us had this big blanket that isn't that big now that I'm grown up, but since we were maybe 5 or 6 then, in that area range, this was a huge blanket. This multicolored, brightly colored thing that I put on my bed, even though it was in the middle of summer. And it was something special because it was something that someone had handmade for me with their own two hands. Funny thing about this particular blanket was that the one of the reasons I remember it so much was that in the middle of the night, I woke up and I saw these floating eyes in midair in at the corner of my bed, and I screamed and I turned on the light and the cat went running off the blanket. Because, like I said, yarn and cats seem to go together. And no matter where I put that blanket in the house, the cat would find it and just sit on it. So the cat basically said, I own this blanket. It is mine. The cat did not go to college with me. The uncle stopped being involved with the aunt, but the blanket went with me to college. And it became part of my Halloween costume one year because it had been over a decade later and that thing was still in one piece and in the same shape and the colors were color fast. And I don't know where it is right now. I think it's in my parents' basement somewhere where I brought it out here with me to California. But I'm pretty much guaranteed, unless the moths have eaten it, that blanket is going to last forever. So, I have to admit, that particular would-have-been grand aunt got me into attempting to learn how to knit. More about that in a little bit.
Well, I have tried knitting. All I can remember is purl one, stitch one. Or purl two, or something like
that. Knit one, purl two.
Knit one. Oh, that's what it was. Knit one, purl two. Thank you. And I got myself yarn, and Carrie and I would sit around and watch TV, and I had to always keep busy. And so she did it. She was doing it at the time. So I said, well, I want to do that. And she looked at me like, you gotta be kidding me. And yeah, I want to do it. This was before, what's that football player's name? There was a big football player that loved to knit.
Not familiar with some, but let's see what the web says.
Okay, well, I'll remember that as we go. And,
Rosie
Greer.
There you go.
Yeah, hey, Rosie Greer. And I just did it for a while, but I'll tell you, it takes someone that, remember I told you about thinking?
Mm-hmm.
And you have to go unconscious to do a whole bunch of things. You have to be, you shoot much better when you don't focus, you don't think about stuff. There's a whole bunch of things. Mystic magic happens more when you're not focusing. If you don't focus and do stuff, it, you have a tendency, if you function with it right, to really be awesome. Well, knitting is the same way. Knitting is something you don't think about. You learn how to do it, and then you go into non-thinking. You go into a mode of not focusing on it because you got to do the same thing over and over and over and over again. Well, I'd get about a little ways along, then I'd think about it a little, and then all of a sudden I'd find myself, doing it wrong. And so I spent more time taking stuff out and starting over again than I did doing the knitting. So I sort of put the knitting away. And then I looked at other things I could do with needle and thread. And that's another story, Jeff.
The thing to take away here is, like I said earlier, knitting is an art form. Crocheting is an art form. And anyone can be an artist. And that's one of our principles. Everyone is an artist. You just have to find your media.
That's right.
And the story of Rosie Greer, the NFL football player, said that he originally started with this stuff as a joke, but he found that he liked it and he kept doing it and then he wanted to inspire other guys to do it. And It's a funny thing when you try to get out of the mental headspace of something you can't do because guys don't do it, or the reverse is true, women don't do this. It's really only a limit if you accept it to be so, and only a limit if you cannot force someone else or convince someone else to let you do something. And we really, as a culture, should see that anybody is capable of anything.
I agree. I then tried doing crocheting with the needles, you know, little hook, needle with a hook.
Yes.
And I failed at that too, because I thought every once in a while. And then I'd look back and it would, you know, I'd look at mine and I'd look at Terry's, and we both had spent the same time on it. And sweetie's ears is so beautiful. He says, well, you can make yours beautiful too if you work at it a little harder. And I'd look at mine and I'd look at hers. I don't know if I really want to keep playing at this. Now, this is before I practiced with the unconscious, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
This is before I got that whole toolkit down. I think if I'd had that toolkit down, the whole game would have been different. But I did some stuff and it was cool. Then I started doing, you know, when they have the designs on cloth and then you do the colors on it.
Needlepoint. Yes.
Yeah. And then I started doing needlepoint. And I did some awesome pictures of needlepoint, because needlepoint you can think about. It's not a continually repetitive stuff, especially if you've got integrated little designs and different color thread and different color needles and there different size needles. And yeah. And you get these wonderful designs you can buy. So when you finish it, they are so pretty. And you can put your, you know, if you have a little initiative, you can put in some of your own little colors and stuff. And some people even do their own designs and everything. That I really, really did enjoy. I did that for a few years. I really had fun. Yeah.
Okay. I will admit, I cannot sew. I don't have the patience for it. I took a sewing class when I was in junior high school, and I nearly failed the class because I didn't have the precision motor control that was required to do exact stitches along a line. And whenever I tried to use the sewing machine and go, and eat what I was trying to sew, and it kind of bothers me. My grandmother used to sew on my dad's side, and she was a seamstress. My grandmother on my mom's side was also a seamstress, and she worked at the factory. And both of them could just get a sewing machine and do exactly what they wanted. Not me. When I tried to use a sewing machine, it would make a zigzag pattern, and it was crooked, and it looked horrible. And the sewing instructor in my junior high school made no secret of saying, you could do better than this. And I was so upset. And we had to make a Christmas ornament, and mine was just the saddest little triangle that was stuffed up with something. And the bear that I made was lopsided, and I would carry that fear of sewing and to this day. But let me tell you, when I was younger, before that class happened, I really enjoyed trying to learn needlepoint, because that same grand aunt gave all the kids a needlepoint set to work with, and I had the darndest time trying to thread the thread through the needle. And the pokey bits, like poking the needle in the right direction through the cloth and making the exact punch back going the other direction, always looked really odd. So after an aborted attempt at needlepoint and showing her what I had, and the grand aunt said, yeah, maybe this is not your thing. The next year she gave us latch hook. Latch hook, for those of you who have never heard of it before, is sort of a fabric working thing with yarn, only it's yarn bits that you take with this instrument that looks like something out of a James Bond movie. It's sort of a crochet hook with a little latch on the end, hence the name latch hook, and you thread the yarn through one end of the pattern from underneath, and you take the latch hook and you poke it to the other side, do some sort of arcane twisting with your hand, which I can't remember now, but it knots. And you wind up making this pattern of knots in a color, and you make a picture out of it. And mine was a rocket ship. And my younger brother got a rocket ship. And my sister got, I believe it was roses, if I remember correctly. It was a number of years ago. And I found something that even I as a kid could do, because this is awesome. You go ka-punch, and you pull the thing through, and you make a knot. And I discovered that I ran out of the right color yarn for whatever reason, because they would give these custom blob yarn things in a little cylindrical thing that came with a latch hook kit. But you never seem to get enough of the right color. You ran out of one color, or worse, you pull all the color out of one of these things, and then the rest will just fall out. And you'd have to put it in the box. And you'd have these little yarn bits everywhere. And sometimes they wouldn't stay in the box, because the box is still off the shelf or something. And you'd be tracking these yarn bits everywhere. But I succeeded. I made a crochet spaceship with only a few colors that were slightly off. My brother didn't quite get as far, but then again, he was maybe 5 or so. Didn't quite have the dedication at the time. No blaming that. My sister finished hers, too. We brought them back to our great Aunt Anne. Said, okay, we're done. Now what do we do with them? And she said, great. Now you make it into a pillow. Oh, a pillow? Okay. And she explained, you take this pattern and you sew it together with the other, with the back half of the pillow thing, and you stuff it. And she went through the process of sewing up a pillow out of these things. And she gave the pillow back to us. And I said, this is cool. Then I tried to sleep on it. This itches. Turns out, I found out years later that I'm allergic to wool. And while it was okay and great to sleep under the rainbow-colored blanket, using the spaceship as a pillow, not so much. And yet, to this day, when Roland said, we're doing knitting, and I said, oh, I don't knit. Then I remembered, oh yeah, I kind of do, or kind of did, when I was a kid. So, this just goes to show, as long as someone doesn't tell you you can't do something, as long as you have that optimism to give it a shot, as long as you have that soul of an artist in you, or someone who inspires you to try to imitate them, you can knit. It may look horrible in the beginning, but really, all it really is just you haven't quite found the right medium just yet, just like painting or drawing. As soon as you find your medium, you're good. You're golden to go. And I will admit that there was a point in my life where I said, you know, I'd like to take up latch hook again. I'd like to get out there and go look to see what's out there. And so whenever someone says, oh yeah, I do latch hook, I said, I remember that. I used to do that when I was a kid. And they go, really? I said, yeah. And I'll tell them this story.
That's cool. I don't remember if I ever tried latch hook or not. I've done lanyards. Is lanyards sort of, that isn't the same thing, is it? No, I mean, that's not, would you call that sewing, doing lanyards, making lanyards?
Lanyards is something, yes. Lanyards is something special. And yes, they do still sell latch hooks for kids.
Wow.
And they're fairly simple patterns. You just have to follow it.
Wow. That's pretty cool. See, I told you, there's more stuff down there now than there ever was.
All right.
We're going to come back. We'll keep you. People will just have to stay in stitches until we get back.
Indeed. See you in a little bit.
You're listening to Old Men Stories on WQ4D Radio, the Inspiring Friends Network. Roland and Jeff will be right back with more of Old Men Stories after this short break.
This is Terry Willits, Mom Software, giving stability, service, and excellence.
Thank you, Terry, for the leadership at Mom Software and the noble example you set for all. From our home here in Silicon Valley, and from where it all started, San Francisco, 35 years ago, we welcome you to Old Man Stories. We hope you will continue listening to our radio presentation. We know you will hear a few wonderful stories that started from the home of Mom Software. www.momsoftware.com. One word, one S.
And we're back with more of Old Men Stories on WQ4D Radio, the Inspiring Friends Network. You're invited to join the circle and share your comments and questions in our always open chat room at http://oldmenstories.wq4dradio.com. That's http://oldmenstories.wq4dradio.com. Now, let's give a warm welcome to our hosts, Roland and Jeff, as we continue today's storytelling journey.
Welcome back, everyone, to the second half of Old Man Stories. One of the things that keeps me from getting into knitting, I won't say again, is just the sheer amount of startup cost that requires. And I have friends who knit. I have friends who sew. And their houses are filled with buckets and bins and closets full of yarn. And it just reminds me of one of my favorite television shows. And I some of you might know where it's going. I'm a big Doctor Who fan. And the Fourth Doctor's scarf in particular, which was, I think it's like an 18 or 19 foot long scarf that was knitted because somebody asked someone on the production team, we need a scarf for the doctor. Here, take this and use these. And what they had given the woman was a selection of yarn to use, not realizing that she interpreted it as use all of it. And so the giant supersized scarf of doom was born. And I wanted one of those when I was a kid. And I have a really decent-sized scarf these days, and I wore it on my trip to Utah. It looks more like a Harry Potter scarf, though, because that's what it is. But the point of the matter is that the idea of picking out yarn for color and recognizing how much of a color you need is not so simple as you might think. I've been in fabric stories because Master Storyteller Laura Davis worked with fabrics and costuming, or did at one point. Not so much these days, but we'd go to fabric stores. And while she was busy looking at fabric, I'd wander off and wander through the yarn aisle and fiddle with the yarn. I think sometimes I got a little bit of cat in me. And just looking at the various kinds of yarn brought me back to my childhood. I'm thinking, and I sometimes I think, maybe I should try getting into knitting again. And I said, are you crazy? You didn't really knit in the first place. That was somebody else doing knitting for you. But looking up stuff for today's show, I'm like, maybe I should get into knitting again. There is a soul of an artist in all of us, and it's just a matter of having either someone you know who knits and can walk you through it and not laugh at your mistakes, or just simply the dedication to do so. Anyone can knit, unless you don't have hands at all. And even then, I'm pretty sure
you people knit with feet.
Yeah, I was about to say that. There are people who knit with their feet. I've seen that. It's like I was on like Ripley's Believe It or Not. The point is that you have to have an artistic vision. And maybe your skill isn't up to that, but you never create anything if you don't try at all.
I agree. Maybe we should start the story.
Yes, we should. Who's our storyteller for
today? Our storyteller today is Master Storyteller Mary Willett. Mary is my sister-in-law, and she has done phenomenal stuff with knitting and things like that through being a mother and a grandmother. So take it away.
Here I am with my sister-in-law, Mary Willett, who used to be Mary White.
Yes.
and she has done different knitting and crocheting and all the different things through her time as a mother and grandmother, right?
Right, that's right.
You remember when you knitted?
Yes, I do. When it was real popular, it was probably in the 70s, though.
Yeah, but that was cool, wasn't it? You had the spool stuff?
Yes, I did a lot of stuff. Our cat used to like to play with the yarn, particularly. No, I did. I knitted a lot of afghans. That's the thing that you wear when you're cold, you know, you sit and wrap up in it. It's like a quilt, but it's made out of wool.
Yeah, and you like knit two, purl two, something like that?
Yep, yep. Depending upon the pattern, of course.
Oh.
I'm left-handed, but I always quilted and knitted with the right hand because it was too hard to... When you're left-handed, it's very difficult to do the pattern backwards to figure out what they're saying. So you have to do it with your right hand because they're all made for right-handed people.
Yeah. Are you left-handed?
Yes, yes.
You're like Rich. Rich and you are both left-handed.
Yes, so is David and so is your mother. Sometimes we're together and... There's no right-handed people there.
You know, at one time, I was ambidextrous.
Yes, that's probably because of it.
Yeah, and then I chose right-handedness.
That's because it's easier. The world is right-handed.
Yep, and so when you were knitting, there is a right-handed style. I thought it was sort of like both hands.
No, it's actually, you're throwing it with the right hand over the top, or whatever you're doing. It's easier if you're right-handed.
Oh.
So you have to change the pattern around. I'm not clever enough to change the pattern around.
Yeah, you have to keep thinking. Well, they don't have left-handed instructions, huh?
No, they don't. They do, I suppose, somewhere, but they're very few and far between.
Yeah, they didn't have computers then in the 70s that you could look at.
Yeah, that's right. I suppose they have lots of stuff now.
Yeah, on the web, yeah.
No, but I'm not doing it. I've been quilting now.
Yeah, and that's awesome. I when I said knitting for the subject matter, it was like anything to do with needlework type stuff.
Right.
As a male, you sort of lump it all into this big lump.
Yes, that's right.
Although I've done them.
It takes two hands, but crocheting takes really one hand. You know, you got one hand free, which is kind of nice.
What's the difference?
Well, you have to have two needles so there's a needle in each hand when you're knitting. But when you're crocheting, you only need one needle.
Oh.
And your other hand just kind of holds what you're working with, your material. You know, as you make it bigger, you know, you hold it in one hand. So it's kind of nice crocheting. You don't lose stitches. Knitting, the stitches can fall off the needle.
Attention. Yeah, or I've seen people that do that, and they just keep going, and they don't make mistakes.
Yeah, so some people are very good.
Are you? Were you when you did it?
I was when I did it. Yeah, I think I was. I like to do intricate things, you know, making different things that were more work. Because it's boring just doing the same stitch. A lot of things you just do one stitch all across, you know.
Oh.
You know, but you can change colors with the yarn. But a lot of things, they don't really change the stitches.
Oh, okay.
So that gets kind of, you could watch television and do that kind of a thing.
Without making mistakes?
You wouldn't make a mistake because you're always doing the same thing.
Oh.
Yeah.
And you would sit and watch TV and knit?
Yeah, that's what's nice about it. You can, lots of times when guys are watching sports, the wife can sit there and not really pay attention. Just and he thinks he's got company, you see. So I know a lot of girls do that.
Oh, okay. So they're not quite into sports, but they are. They do get a lot of knitting done.
That's right, or crocheting, whichever.
Okay, so that's another activity, crocheting.
Yep, that's one needle. with a little hook on the end. See, knitting needles are just points, but crochet hooks are got a point on the end.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
A hook on the end, a hook.
A little hook, yeah.
Yeah, instead of just a point, you know.
I'm starting to recall all that now. Yeah. And they make, and they usually use thinner thread, don't they?
Well, yes, but not all always, because I never like that real thin stuff. Yeah, if you're really into making really tiny things, you use a tiny thread. I have a Christmas tree that I bought that's all full of crocheted snowflakes.
Oh.
Very small thread. It's real pretty. I didn't make it. Somebody else did. That was really clever, this person, because she could make real pretty little tiny things. That was nice.
Yeah, and you have different size. You have these, you have big, you know, on both knitting and crocheting, don't you have different sized needles?
Yes, I have them all. Richard thought it was so funny because someone asked me if I had some needles, and we've moved so much, you know. So he thought, well, she won't be able to find them because we can't find half the things because we moved. In fact, today he's down there finding all kinds of stuff. But you know, I haven't seen in years. But I knew exactly where all my knitting needles were from the 70s and 80s.
Wow.
They're in my drawer. I kept them in my drawer in my dresser because they just all lay in there. You can put your clothes on top of them, you know. They don't get in the way because they're, you know, small. It's not like artist things where you have to have paints and everything.
Wow.
You just have you just have brushes, let's say. Not like an artist. So you can just put them all in the bottom of your dresser and forget about them. So I found the needles for this person that wanted to do a project. And she can't find them. No, she can't. No, she can't. He kept saying. I went upstairs and got him, and he said, oh, my gosh.
Oh, my. Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Especially when we can't find anything. The two of us can't remember where we put anything ever.
Oh, it's a both of you now, huh?
Yeah, that's right. Well, he says, what are we going to do if I get Alzheimer's? He said, we'll both have it.
Just don't get it.
That's right.
Willis have a tendency not to get it.
That's good.
Okay. How about the whites? Did any your
no,
parents?
No,
didn't
we
have
haven't.
It
none of us have had it. No.
Well, you have a good tendency not to have it then.
That's good. Yeah, that's awful.
So,
anyway.
Why did you change to quilting? Yeah.
Well, it's I love colors. I'm like an artist that way, but I like fabric colors. So I love to put colors together. You know, I usually like bright colors. Not too bright, not yellow and orange, but brighter reds and blues and greens. That's my kind of color palette. And I love the feel of fabric, you know, more than yarn.
Oh, okay.
Of course, my cat died, so. I didn't have anybody to play with when I did it.
So the cat dying who played with the yarn.
Right.
And so you sort of missed the cat and you did something else in the vacuum there of.
Yes. Your mother taught me how to quilt.
Oh.
Yeah, when I was like 20. She taught me how before I got married almost.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, but you didn't do it till you were in your 30s.
I met your mother. I met your mother, yeah. No, I did it from 20 on. I've been doing it. And in February, we're having a big retreat at my house. Well, about 15 girls here sewing again. It's like a little sweatshop. And the girls just have to bring all the meals. So I assigned 3 of them to each meal. And then we, you know, that's all they have to bring is a dish to pass, you know.
Right.
So they're all anxious to come.
Okay.
And they go home at night. It isn't like going to a hotel or something.
Right.
Usually at those retreats that you go to, you stay at the hotel. But they all live around here, so it's not an inconvenience to go home.
Right.
They just leave their stuff here, and they go home and then come back. We do it for 3 days.
And each one starts at a different section, or you all do the same one, or what?
Well, most of the time they do their own thing, you're right. But sometimes we have projects that we do together. Like lots of times we have quilts for soldiers.
You're right.
And so quilts for valor. Anyway, then we do a block. Everybody does a block, and then we put them all together and have a quilt shop. That way it gets done faster.
How did you did a quilt shop? A quilt what? I miss that.
A quilt block. I got my voice is kind of rough tonight.
Okay. Well, it sounds just wonderful.
It's a block. It's like a square. It's like 12 inches square. And every like 15 people do it. That's probably enough to do a whole quilt top. And then we can send that off to hospitals and places around the country.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. We have a girl that's in charge of that. And she sends them to places that need them.
Okay.
Because we still have soldiers that are being hurt over in
all
these places. Yeah. You know, it's kind of nice.
It is. And it is nice doing that.
They started it during the Civil War, so it's a kind of a tradition with quilters to do things for soldiers.
Oh, so this goes way back, huh?
Right, yeah. Some of the Civil War quilts are very expensive if you get one.
Oh, okay.
Because they're quite an antique, you know. You know, it's really valuable. So there's something to keep. You know, I thought soldiers should keep it. His family should anyway.
In tradition, yeah. And then,
yeah, because as years go by,
it just adds
it
more value.
More value. Yeah.
Yep. It sure does.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's kind of interesting, the types of material. Even the types of yarn and knitting has changed.
Mm-hmm.
There's more synthetics and different patterns that are quite nicely. You know, they as modern times, they can do more things than what we used to have, you know.
Yes, they sure do have a lot more things out there.
Yeah, it's kind of nice. You can be very creative. And everybody has a talent, they just don't realize it. You know, they have to kind of think, what do you like to do? And you can express that with an art. You know, some people are good with mosaics, all kinds of different things.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. So, it's always, you know, and then you can do things for other people. I like things that people make better than bought and things lots of times.
They are nice, aren't they?
Yeah. They're kind of special.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for...
Oh, I hope so.
Oh, you did wonderful.
Okay, good.
And I'm so happy to talk to you for a little while, too. Thank you so much, Mary.
Yeah, I had a good time when you were here. I have to go over and see you someday.
Oh, we'll see you. We'll probably just go over and visit again this summer.
I'm better now. I don't have
across Minnesota.
Off.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
better. I can go places now.
We'll look forward to it.
Yeah, okay.
Hey.
Say hi to Terry again.
Terry and I love you.
Okay, thank you. Okay. All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Yes, that is the same sentiment in a nutshell that we've been talking about all show. Find your inner artist. Find your medium. Put the two together, and you can make something fantastic. And even the making of itself, whether it's a disaster or not, is still its own little story, as you've heard.
It is, yes. You could totally mess it up and you get a wonderful story.
And one of the running jokes about knitting that I've been reading is that, there hasn't been a project that I've finished 95% that I haven't decided to destroy and start from the beginning again. And I have seen fellow knitters do this, where they're like, I don't like it. They start ripping out the stitches. Like, but that took hours of work. And a friend of mine who did that, yeah, but I didn't like it. And I'd rather get it right than stare at it.
Stare at the flaw.
And know it's there every time. I've been looking up beginning knitting, and the various stitches that are listed here, and they look exactly the same to me. But as an adult, and as a proper person who knows how to follow instructions, I might be willing to give another shot. I got a little bit of money for Christmas, and maybe I'll try something new this year. Always challenge yourself.
Oh, that'd be, yeah, I'll look forward to an afghan next year.
Don't know if I'll get the afghan. They suggest making a scarf. I remember now, I was thinking about when I was a kid. I'm not sure where these came from, but I think somebody made them. But the potholders that we had in our kitchen when I was a kid were these kind of crochet things in fabric. And I think somebody made them because here are these really odd colors that didn't work terribly well together. One of them was rainbow colored, and one of them was sort of this pale salmon and blue color. I think they were handmade.
I think you could do those I can't remember if it was Donna's at the Sibley Field. They did a whole bunch of stuff. They had a rec room where they did stuff like that. I keep thinking it might have been Boy Scouts, but it sounds more like the little rec room at Sibley Field. We had a place where they would have all kinds of little stuff you'd make, and they'd have these little squares with these little knobs sticking up on them, and you'd pull string between them.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you finish them, you'd somehow block them all out, and they would use those for hot stuff on?
Pot holders or trivets.
Right, yes. And I remember making that. I remember doing all kinds of little stuff like that.
Oh, no. Laura's college roommate had a full-size loom in her dorm room. It took up most of the room.
A loom in the dorm room?
Yeah, she had to put it together in pieces. And one of those floor-standing looms that you basically pulled the levers and did all sorts of stuff, and it came out with like a giant bit of fabric. And I guess if you did that for a living, maybe it would make sense. But if you're only going to make one or two things with it, maybe not so much.
The art.
It's an art, yeah. And I guess I understand if it's a hobby. I understand if it's a good way to make homemade personalized gifts, like your sister-in-law said, where it's got more value in terms of value knowing someone made it with their own hands. And that's kind of my last story for today, is that at one point I got a package in the mail from some friends that I made online. And of all places, a news group based on All About Callahan's. All About Callahan's the news group, but it was based off Callahan's Place, which is a book by Spider Robinson. And these people who had only one thing in common, which is the love of a particular book series, based around meeting in a bar or in a tavern on Long Island that didn't exist, had gotten together at some gathering they had, and they made a crochet bit of fabric for me because I was going through a tough time in my life. And they said, every one of us in the room took the time to pass this crochet thing around, and we all did a couple of stitches apiece. So if you've been touched by a number of hands, all of us are wishing you well. I know exactly where that is in my house. And the thing that ties this all together is that somebody cared enough to do something personal, if not personalized, but just it's time. It's the way that you use it. It's literally that, like I said earlier, it's a stitch in time. And like your sister-in-law said, the way to pass the time, to look like you're keeping someone company. You are. You're physically there. But you're also in your own space spinning your personal yarn.
That is so right, Ben. It's a good way to keep your hands busy, too. We are a multifunction being, and we can do several things at once. Women can do it easier than men, I think.
I think anybody can be good with their hands, though.
Maybe.
Look at Rosie Grier.
Yep, he can do it.
And he even wrote a book about it, Needlepoint for Men.
Mm-hmm. And there's whittlers for men. I mean, men will sit and whittle while they're doing stuff.
You know,
I don't think women like it too much in their living rooms.
Yeah, maybe not. But I tried whittling at one point when I was camping, and it did not end well. But regardless of which, don't ever be afraid to do something different if it's something that you're interested in. Even if it's something that is traditionally not something that your particular gender does. And I'm somewhat serious about looking into picking up knitting this year. Why not?
Cool.
I'll probably go and end up looking for Lash Hook instead, because I know I can do that. But, hey, I know knitters. Or I used to know knitters. And if I tell Mom that I'm taking up knitting, she'll probably laugh at me. But it is what it is. Sharon says, there's one yarn that would especially suit you, and you could make it extra fun by leaving your readers hanging by a thread. Yes, this is exactly what I'm doing right now. It's sort of a plot twist, if you will. The thing about yarn, whether it's spinning one, or wool gathering, or simply thinking about it as wool gathering is, it's a good fantasy. And the best fantasies are the ones that you actually fulfill. I don't even know what I'm going to make yet. I don't know if I'll actually make anything at all. But it's interesting just because I was inspired by today's show to think about doing something with yarn. I don't have any cats. I'm allergic to cats. And wool. Maybe that's why I haven't done either in my lifetime much. But hey, no time like the present. And who knows? Maybe I'll make somebody a scarf. So if you get a scarf for Christmas, it looks kind of odd and misshapen looking, you'll know exactly where it came from. It'll fit into that little niche of, well, maybe it doesn't look so cool, but somebody made it with their own hands.
Well, right now I'm into guitar, but I might have been enthusiastic about it if I wasn't. And you know, your fingers have to form calluses from doing the guitar, but you know when you use those needles and that stuff? Your fingers have to form calluses the same way. Because if you keep working on your fingernails, your fingers get really sore. So after a while, you get calluses from doing a lot of activity like that. So we'll just end this show, for me, with calluses.
Certainly not a callous remark here. But thank you for listening. And go ahead and spin your own tails from here. We'll be listening. See you next week for Old Man Stories.
Knitting is more than wool gathering and having a ball. It may not seem like adventures where you escape by the skin of your teeth, but knitting, like storytelling, is an art and a labor of love. What pearls of wisdom do you have to share? Jeff Young.
Roland Willits.
Old Man Stories.
You've been listening to Old Men Stories on WQ4D Radio, the Inspiring Friends Network. The story for the day may end here, but the adventure continues. Join us next time for another round of stories around the virtual campfire. Roland and Jeff want to hear what stories you have to share too. Join the circle over at www.oldmenstories.org. Or send Roland and Jeff an email at oldmenstories@wq4d.net. That's oldmenstories@wq4d.net. And remember that you are already a master storyteller in your own right. We want to hear your story.